Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for another beautiful day where we have the freedom to gather and we choose to worship you, Lord. Thank you for Second Mile Church. Thank you for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for Pastor Cal, and we pray for him as he brings us your word. Please protect our nation, protect our city, protect our world, Lord. There's so much going on that we just thank you so much for your sacrifice for us, Lord. We're all sinners, but we are so grateful for you and the gifts that you've bestowed upon us. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. I guess spring break's not quite over. Mercy me. I'm glad y'all are here. Amen. Look at you. Whoever you're sitting with or close to, just say, good morning. Now say, glad you're here. All right. I've had a great week. Man, I've been in some powerful prayer meetings, and Thursday I had the privilege of preaching at the BCM, and some of our folks were there playing, and some of our adults and some of our kids helped feed all the BCM students. And then we got to pray. I mean, it's been a great week, and man, Thursday is going to be really big. I hope y'all get on the bus, Gus, with me Thursday. Some of y'all are looking at me like, what is he talking about? Where have you been? We're going to have a prayer meeting on the hallowed grounds where the second great awakening happened about 45 minutes from here. Thursday morning, get on the bus with me. It's over at the exit 11, park and ride, 8 a.m. If you want to be a part of something that's really going to be wonderful, just make the plan. Some of y'all are not working. Some of y'all don't have a full-time job. Come on and go with us. If you are working, take off and go with us. It's going to be good. So I'm looking forward, and I've been looking forward to being with you all today. Really have. We're in the book of Hebrews. Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus is better. He is better. And so we need to keep pressing on. Now, we are in Hebrews. We're going to finish up chapter 3 this morning, the Lord willing. And I'm going to just read one verse to you, but we're going to be in verses 7 through 19 for the morning. But let's just rise one more time if we can as we honor God's word. If you can't, you do that with the best way you know how with your heart. Verse 12, Hebrews 3. This is the second warning from the writer of Hebrews. Beware. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, now he's writing to believers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Wow. That is a word for us this morning right there. Father, help me to rightly divide the word of truth, but this isn't even about me this morning, Father. This is about you. And we need to hear from heaven this morning. We need for you to speak to our hearts. And as we hear truth today, God, help us to respond in obedience. That's what this life's all about, is being obedient to you so that you get the glory for our lives. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, amen. Please be seated. I said this is the second warning in the book of Hebrews that we're looking at this morning. And you know, our society that we live in is familiar with warning signs. I mean, how many of you have been driving this week and you were driving down the road and all of a sudden you saw a sign that told you to slow down? Or maybe you even came up on a sign that said, stop. I was on a kind of a two-lane highway earlier in the week, and there was another sign I saw that said, sharp curve ahead. And I've even seen some signs that say, move over, your lane is about to end. pharmaceutical companies. Don't you love all those commercials? They have warnings and disclaimers even as they're peddling their products on these commercials. And you know what? Most of the time, half of their commercials from the pharmaceutical companies had to do with warnings. Are y'all with me? But you know what my all-time favorite warning is? When McDonald's said, "Hey, be careful, the coffee's hot." Duh. Anyways, so we're familiar with warnings, are we not? Well, this morning, there's another warning that's given to these Jewish Christians, these believers who are being persecuted by their Jewish brethren for their new beliefs. Now, and they're being tempted to go back to their former way of life. And they're in danger of hardening their hearts to the sufficiency of Christ. How many of you know Jesus is able? And they're thinking about returning to those Old Testament rules and rituals and regulations. And so in light of this fact, the writer of Hebrews brings up and begins to develop this theme and brings up the example of Israel and her wilderness wanderings. Now, in today, you say, what does this have to do with me? Well, in today's church, the modern church, you basically got two kinds of believers, two kinds of Christians. One I call Canaan Christians, and the other I call wilderness Christians. Victorious Christians and defeated Christians. Maturing, growing Christians and baby Christians. Tell somebody he's right. So, here's the deal. That latter group that I mentioned there in those pairs of believers is a miserable, frustrating experience. But it doesn't have to be that way. I'm going to give you the antidote to wilderness wanderings and living a defeated and frustrated and miserable life. And by the way, those folks are Christians, and they're some of the most miserable people on the planet. But there's an antidote to that, and the antidote is the title of the sermon, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be... Say that word.
Happy.
Say it again.
Happy.
In Jesus, but to trust and obey. So that's what we're talking about this morning. So first of all, the writer of Hebrews gives us a warning to everyone. He gives a warning to everyone. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit still speaks? The Holy Spirit says, today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years ago, for 40 years. Now, this warning comes directly from the Holy Spirit, but it's a quotation. Andrew read it earlier from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. And what he's doing is he's drawing a parallel between an historical event and a present-day experience. Y'all with me? And so he begins by talking about how Israel rebelled. And you'll find this sordid, sad story in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. I don't have time to go through all of that. I'll just give you a quick synopsis. God had delivered Israel from Egypt. They'd been in slavery and in bondage for 400 years. And God delivered them through the blood of the Passover lamb. How many of you remember that? Once those Jewish families applied the blood of that Passover lamb to their homes, they were saved. Everyone under the blood was saved. Hello? Everyone under the blood was saved. And when they came to the Red Sea, Pharaoh, and his old hard heart, changed his mind and sent his angry army after the Israelites. And so the Israelites now have the army of Egypt behind them, and in front of them they got the floodwaters of the Red Sea. But you know what? God showed up and showed out, and he parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the Israelites passed over, 2 million of them, passed over onto dry ground. Now, that's a picture of salvation. The blood of the Lamb, the crossing of the Red Sea, that's a picture of salvation. And so God got it, you know, God got Israel out of Egypt, but he had a lot of trouble getting Egypt out of Israel. Hello? Still has trouble with that today. Now, having said that, let me say this. God not only wanted to get, listen to me now, watch this, listen, lean in, don't miss this. God not only wanted to get Israel out of Egypt, he wanted to get them into Canaan, the promised land. Well, between Egypt and Canaan, there was wilderness. And in this dry desert area known as the, I guess, the Sinai Desert, some of the Israelites began to complain and gripe and grumble. Not good words. And they began to talk about going back to Egypt. Would you see, brothers and sisters, there's no going back to Egypt. No going back to Egypt. And so once they were under the blood and crossed the Red Sea, Egypt was gone forever, okay? No going back. And so when they get up to the edge of the promised land in a territory called Kadesh, Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan land, into the promised land, on a reconnaissance mission. And they were to go and scope out and check out the land that God had promised to them. And they all came back, all 12 of them, and everybody's report said that, you know what? God was right. Man, it is a land of abundance. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It is an amazing, amazing place. But 10 of them said there's giants in the land. Giants. And all of their cities are fortified with these huge walls. And they've got trained fighting men in every city, and they failed to believe in the promises of God. How many of you know unbelief is a sin? And so they rebelled against the promises of God. And because of their unbelief, they would not enter in immediately to the land of Canaan, even though they had seen miracle after miracle. I mean, they'd seen the Passover lamb and being set free from Egypt. They saw what God did at the Red Sea. They saw how God handed down and gave them the Ten Commandments and the laws. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. They saw the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. Man, they ate angel food cake every morning. I mean, they had quail in the evening. Yeah, that's good to hear that y'all laugh. Now I know you're listening. And they had quail in it. They had water that came forth from the rock. They had met, and yet they failed to trust God, and they rebelled against him. But now watch this. See how God responded. Look at verse 10. Therefore I was angry. Now that word angry literally means disgusted. How many of y'all have ever been broke, busted, and disgusted? That's the way God was feeling. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And so God saw their unbelief and refused to let them enter into the promised land. And you know what God did? He put them in time out for 40 years. How many of y'all, your parents put you in time out? Time out didn't work for your pastor. That's right. God put them in time out for 40 years. They walked in circles. They ate the same food every day. Life was kind of, you know, monotonous. They saw the same rocks, lizards, snakes, desert, every day. Every day. Victories were scarce. Progress was slow. They were saved, but not strong. They were redeemed, but rebellious. Y'all with me so far? They were saved from Pharaoh, but now they're stuck in the desert. They were locked in a routine, monotonous, dull, ho-hum, 4 decades of frustration and failure. Sounds miserable, does it not? But I'm going to tell you what, for some of you, it sounds real familiar. It always gets quiet when God's speaking. And so for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. 40 years. And then secondly, there's a wilderness to experience. And for some reason or other, the writer of Hebrews brings this up a second time. A second time, just to make sure that his readers understood. And he reverts back to their example, to the Israelites' example of in the wilderness. And watch this. Watch this. Do you see that phrase there, hardening your hearts? Well, that refers to a stiffening and a stubbornness of the will. It's a heart that wants to do what I want to do rather than what God wants us to do. That was the whole issue. Unbelief, disobedience, and their refusal to move forward in obedience. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. Look again in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Jump down to verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who didn't obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Man, don't miss that. Don't miss that. That's the crux of the problem right there. You know, oftentimes the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Hey, y'all, they didn't get it over here, but I bet y'all can get it. Oftentimes the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Well, or y'all got it. Tough crowd today, Billy. All right, so out of 2 million Israelites that came out of Egypt, 2 million, how many of those actually went in and claimed and possessed the promised land? 2. What were their names? Yes, 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 yes. Very good. Now, Numbers tells us that everyone 20 years and older died in the wilderness. In other words, if you were under 20, You and your offspring were there for 40 years. But that older generation, that from 20 years old and up, they all died in the wilderness because of the sin of unbelief. Their graves were a testimony to unbelief. And this is what I believe. Now, I'm going to make this jump this morning. This is what I believe 1 John 5:16 calls the sin unto death. Now, this is going to make some of you real uncomfortable. But folks, there comes a time, and I don't really know when it is in the life of a believer, that they become so useless and so unproductive. They so wear out their witness and tear up their testimony. And God can't use them. And you know what He does? He kills them. You go read 1 John 5:16. I believe that's what happened to most of these Israelites, the sin of unbelief. And they're wandering around in this frustrating, miserable, defeated situation. they forfeited what God already had planned for them in Canaan. And now, who is he talking to here? Who's the writer of Hebrews? He's writing and he's speaking to these New Testament Jewish believers who are in danger of repeating the same mistakes that Israel made. They were thinking about going back to their old dead religion. And instead of going forward, they were stuck. Now, y'all need to know three truths about Egypt, the wilderness, and Canaan. Egypt represents our redemption from the land of sin. You've been saved from a land of slavery and sin. Somebody shout glory. That's what Egypt represents. We've been freed from sin. And then the wilderness represents a wasted life of defeat and frustration. But here's what Canaan represents: victory in the daily life of a believer. All these songs we sing about Canaan being heaven, that's not a good theological truth. Canaan is the victorious Christian life. It's not heaven. Heaven's better than Canaan. Some of y'all think, oh, he don't like, no. Those old songs, now I'm old, but those old songs we sing about heaven being Canaan, that's wrong. Canaan is victorious living every single day that every single believer should have and ought to have. Y'all with me so far? All right, so we're not ever going back to Egypt, but it's possible to eke out some type of defeated, miserable, frustrating experience in the wilderness, day after day. Some of you are here, and you're asking, isn't there more to it than this? I'm not getting what so-and-so's getting. I'm not where I need to be. I just, there's got to be more than what I'm getting. Let me ask everybody in here a question. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of believer do you want to be? Maybe you need more compassion. Or maybe you need more conviction. Or maybe more courage. What attributes in your life would you like to get rid of? Like grief, guilt, endless negativity, a critical, judgmental spirit, pride, immorality. Well, I've come here today to tell you, you don't have to stay in the wilderness. You can have victory over all of that and more. You say, well, Brother Cal, I'd like to know how. Guess what? The Word of God has that answer for us. Are y'all ready for this? I thought surely we'd have several in the wilderness that'd want to know. I've been in the wilderness. It ain't no fun. It's not any good. Here it is. A willingness to encourage. Look at verse 13. But encourage one another once a month, daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, the more you sin, the harder your heart gets. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You see, in order for us to keep moving forward in victory, in order for us to enjoy victory every day in our lives, you got to be willing to be a blessing and encouragement to others. And I'm not getting some real encouraging looks right now. We're called to lift one another up. We're called to encourage one another. We're called to exhort one another. And not every now and then, but every single day. How many of you know we're better together? I mean, we need one another. And this is why we have Bible study. This is why we have worship. I can't wait to get to Hebrews 10. Man, it talks about not neglecting the assembling of yourselves. Fellowship meals, community groups, prayer meetings, doing ministry together. This is why and how we encourage one another. We're together. And we're to encourage each other in the faith. We're to motivate one another. We're to stimulate one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to exhort one another to love God more effectively and efficiently and love others like Jesus loves us. That's what we're to do. And you can't do that without getting some encouragement from time to time. So, think about a time in your life, in your life, in your life, when somebody encouraged you. What did that do for you? What was the situation? You remember? You see, the encouragement that we receive from one another can bolster our confidence. That's what he's talking about there in verse 14. And motivate us to stay with the stuff and keep going forward in our faith. And here's what I want to say this morning. Stay engaged with a godly group of believers. Stay engaged with a group of believers. Let me tell you, you get away from God's people, the only direction you're going to go in is this way. Because you're not getting the encouragement and the exhortation that you need. So over and over again, the writer uses this word today. I love my July revivalist, Minister James Coles. And every night of revival, he says, tonight, tonight, tonight. Well, the writer of Hebrews is saying, today, today, today. He says it three times. Right now, get those spiritual matters taken care of right now. Now remember, he's talking to and writing to partakers of Christ. The very fact that they would continue on in faith is giving evidence that they are saved. Hello? And so, I have a personal belief that God wants every one of us to enjoy peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all of that, self-control. He wants all of us to enjoy the abundance of the Christian life. You don't have to wander around in the wilderness. But unbelief and disobedience will keep you in the wilderness. Do you know why? Let me just share quickly why this passage is so meaningful and purposeful for me. It's because I spent several years in the wilderness. I was saved, but I was living like I was lost. I've fallen out of church. I wasn't around believers like I needed to be. I wasn't encouraged on a daily basis with spiritual things. And it wasn't long before I was in a mess. I was about to lose my house. I'd already lost one of my cars. Most of my fair weather friends were gone. And God had to take all that stuff away. And I'd been gone from my home, my parents' home, for many years. And I had to call my dad when I was 24 years old, almost 25, and ask him if I could come back home. Are you talking about lower than a snake's belly? I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And I guess it was about the first or second day I got back home. And by the way, Big Daddy from Cincinnati lined out about five or six things I was going to have to do if I wanted to stay with him. Thank God for men like that. But here's what happened. The second day that I was back on Crestwood Drive in my mom and dad's home, I got a letter. And some of you will know her. I got a letter from Cookie Prine. And the letter said basically this, "Cal, I just want you to know how much I love you. And I thank God for you. And he's not done with you. And I know that he's not done with you because I've been where you're at. I've been in the shoes that you're in. You've been running from God for the last 4 or 5 years. But if you'll turn from your sin and trust God and obey his word, God will receive you and he'll restore you." And my mama had been praying for years that God would restore the years that the locusts had eaten up in my life. And you know what God did? After I got down in my old bedroom floor and soaked the carpet with my tears for what seemed like hours. But when I got up, I knew I was coming out of the wilderness and I was headed to Canaan. I stand here today to tell you I'm not proud of wandering around in the wilderness. But I'm so thankful that if you'll ask God to forgive you of your unbelief and your disobedience, you can enjoy the abundance of the Christian life. This is what God desires for everybody in here. We used to sing a song called "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you'll do that today, you can get out of that frustrating, miserable, defeated situation that you're in. You can get out of the wilderness and you can have victory. Oh, you're still going to have trouble. You're still going to have some trials. But you can get out of all that if you'll follow God's plan and purpose for your life. I need right now, musicians, whoever's coming for invitation time, come on. If you're here today, I wouldn't worry one iota what somebody else thinks if you get up and come forward to the altar. "I wonder what he's doing or what she's been doing." Don't you worry about that. They're probably in the same situation you're in. But this altar here is a place to get clean. It is. And you can unload your fears and your faults and your failures and begin renewal in your life today. If you want what God desires for you to have, he's already promised you can have it. But it's up to you. He's not going to force his way on you. Our war room's going to have one or two people back here to counsel folks and pray over people. And there'll be deacons and prayer warriors to pray over if you come. I want to pray for you. Y'all, we need heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival in this church. We need it. We need for folks to move out of the wilderness and get to Canaan this morning. Today, today, today. Father, please, 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 please help us, Lord. Help us to get where we need to get by trusting and obeying in your will and in your word. I pray, God, for the most discouraged person here, for the most frustrated wife or spouse that's here, for the most defeated husband or man that's here. Oh, God, would you speak to our hearts? The antidote for what's wrong is trust and obey. For there is no other way. Forgive us for our disobedience and our unbelief. In Jesus' name we pray. Stand quietly and reverently. Brother Andrew's going to lead us. And just come. Don't wait. Don't wait. Just come on. Back here, right here, just come on. That's right. Just come on.
Let's sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.